120-109, the final. Asking you guys at 216-474-0092, how much do you believe in this fast start by the Cleveland Cavaliers? How much do you believe that this is something that they can actually latch onto? And I don't know what to make of this right now. Obviously, I mean, it can't be anything bad. They're 6-0, first time since the 1977 season. It was really the 76/77 season. I hate how basketball does that. You got to go like season to season. I absolutely hate that. But it's the first time since then that they've started with that record in a non-LeBron season. And so like it's been a while. It's been a while in a non-LeBron season to have this type of start and have this type of optimism. I'm of the belief, like a lot of people are, that the Celtics are the best team in the sport and that everyone else is playing for second. But I am also of the belief that the way we watch and the way we see these things go down, I mean, you're a Tatum injury away. You're a Brown injury away from all of a sudden saying to yourself, okay, now we have a chance to not only make a deep postseason run, now we can be talking about the end-all be-all. I look and see what Atkinson has done, and I look and see what this team has done in a very short amount of time, and I'm wondering if it's too reminiscent of the Guardians' start to the season where they came out of the gate firing and then were a 500 club for the final 54 games of the year. Guardians finished out the season. They were 27-27, and then they went 4-7 in the postseason. They won a postseason series, which was nice, obviously. But they were a 500 baseball team for the final 2 months of the year. I don't know if that's what the Cavs are doing here. I don't know if they're taking advantage of the fact that other teams right now are still getting their feet wet, are still getting themselves, all in the right order, while it feels like the Cavs have been playing basketball for 7 months. I don't know why. Like, you watch these games and you look at the way the Cavs are playing basketball and they just seem like they've been playing for a really long time together. And I think maybe that's just the benefits of the core four. There was no Paolo Banchero out there tonight. Magic weren't out. Magic, they just had a big blow. Banchero's out now for an extended period of time. Orlando's going to try to find a way to win some of these games, but they're never going to be able to beat a Cavs team, even with Banchero, it's a tough stretch for them, but they're never going to be able to beat a Cavs team when they're this behind the eight ball. 7.5-point favorites entering this game. Cavs take control of this one. It's not the Magic win that has impressed me, though. It was the Knicks win at the Garden on Monday. It was the Lakers game with Bronny scoring his first NBA points on Wednesday. And then we get to take on a Bucks team in a home and home coming up over the next couple of games, and we'll see where they stand. Now, Milwaukee's off to a miserable start to this season. So I think a lot of people will take advantage of the fact that the Bucks, with Doc Rivers as their head coach, just don't look right now. They're a team that feels like they're going to take some time to get ready. Meanwhile, the Cavs are just cooking on all cylinders. It's incredible. But the way we've seen this Cavs team operate, they've gotten hot early before. What happens in January? What happens in February? What happens later on in the season is going to be very telling. Mobley had 14-12. We had a rare Jared Allen night where Jared Allen did not have a double-double. It's not often that you see Jared Allen have a whole entire game where he scores just 2 points, takes just 3 shots. It was one of those nights, though. Darius scored 25. He was the leading scorer. Donovan Mitchell scored 22. Donovan had like 19 in the first quarter and a half and then just kind of settled in, took himself out. 22 minutes was all he played. You can tell with Milwaukee around the corner tomorrow night, a lot of these players started to take it easy. They went up 34-16 in the first quarter. If I'm doing radio in Orlando tonight, I'm trying to make an argument on how Orlando actually outplayed the Cavs from the second quarter on. It'd be disingenuous, but it'd be the argument that what I would make. I'd say it's disingenuous because even though the points would suggest that, the reality was Donovan didn't play much from the second quarter on. Donovan clearly wasn't trying to go ahead and, really stick it to Orlando in any sort of way. And when Jared Allen's not taking that many shots and you're letting Darius just kind of chuck up 9 3-pointers tonight and just kind of take as many shots as he wants, like clearly if the directive on Monday was to get Darius's confidence back up, once they went up and once they took a big time lead, the directive was clearly let Darius try to take as many shots as he can, let him get his confidence up, and then let's go from there. Karras had 13 off the bench. Okoro was able to shoot a couple threes as well. They shot 38 threes, which is right in line with what they shot the other night when they put up 41. God, Orlando, 33 attempts. I didn't realize they had that many attempts on there tonight either. I also didn't realize that Jalen Suggs scored a career high in 28 points on 20 shots. He just kept shooting. That's going to be their offense, though. He went 28, 8, and 7. That's going to be their offense moving forward. Like that's exactly what they have to do. The Wagner twins out there, and then whatever Suggs can deliver, and then Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and that's really about it. 216-474-0092. The mayor up next. What's up, man?
You know what, Jonathan, you're going to hear from all those people, but you know you're going to hear from me.
Well, always after
a
Cavs game.
So, and I'm just hoping that this city comes around instead of watching them bums at the lakefront to watch this team.
We can watch both.
This is Cleveland's finest franchise. Just remember that. So here's why we're doing what we're doing.
Guardians were just in the ALCS.
Yeah, whatever. You know what? Here's the deal. Yeah, it's about the core four, but it's about other guys too. Okay? You had Ty Jerome, who was hurt all last year. You got Sam Merrill. You got a bench. You got guys that can play. You got Dean Wade shooting shots the way he should be. Okay? This is why you're winning, and a whole entire new offense that doesn't have people standing around and doing the stanky leg. Okay? You got guys, like I said the other night, Dean Wade flying to the hoop. That's why we're winning. That's why we're going to be one of the best teams in the NBA, and we should have been like this last year, but we had a coach that didn't know how to use what he had. And one other thing, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Hey, Buckley, how do you like us now?
Yeah, you tell him. You tell him, the mayor. Mr. Buckley is always conspicuously absent. Big New York fan, big Knicks fan, talks a lot. I like Mr. Buckley, though. I get more tweets about people being like, Mr. Buckley, take that, than anyone else. Not even close. I think the guy's funny. He's very, very cocky, but I think he's funny. Yeah, I haven't heard from him since the Knicks loss. Haven't heard a single peep from him since the Knicks loss. The point is that it felt like today the Cavs could do basically whatever they wanted. It's weird. Six games into the season, and it feels like in games against teams like Orlando, for instance, without Paolo. With Paolo, it's a different story. Without Banchero, though, it felt like they can just kind of toy with them, like they're food or something. And it's like, we're going to decide exactly what we want this game to be. We're going to decide the score that we want it to be. And the moment that you cut the lead in half, or the moment that you get it close, the way that we saw them do in the fourth quarter, and at the end of the third quarter, where Orlando kind of went on a little bit of a run, then the Cavs just turn it up a notch, and then they take over, and that's all it is. And this isn't the main core four parts of the Cavs either. This is, as the mayor suggests, this is some of the bench guys. This is LeVert. This is Merrill. This is Niang. It is Okoro. It's some of the other guys on this team, and they're just able to turn it on. I mean, everyone got action tonight. You ended up playing seven guys off the bench. That's why Donovan played 22 minutes tonight. Dean Wade played 24. Mobley, Allen, Garland, one player cracked 30, and that was Mobley, and that was it. I would have liked to have seen Mobley, by the way. He took, I believe it's a career high with 3 3-pointers tonight, attempted. He scored just one. I would have liked to have seen him just have a night where he just kind of just goes crazy with it. Just get absolutely wild with it. Let's just see what happens. He goes 14-12, pretty good overall. But, yeah, this Cavs team, I hate to say it six games in. I mean, I love to say it, but I hate to say it six games in. They just seem like they're on a different level than everybody else right now in the NBA, with the exception being the Boston Celtics. I don't know. Maybe at the end of the season, it's Boston and it's Oklahoma City, and those are the two teams that end up in the finals, and they just win a bunch of games, and the Cavs seem like they were nowhere close. Maybe at the end of the season, the Cavs unravel in a big time way, and the Cavs find I have no idea how this would be, but they find a way to just screw up all the goodwill that they built up so far, and Atkinson turns into a bird brain on the sidelines. But this is why they make coaching changes. This is it right here. You're seeing proof positive the difference that a coach can make. And I was reading some articles earlier today, and they were talking about all the different changes across the NBA and some of the coaching changes that they've made. It was interesting, and I wish I could remember who wrote it. I can't remember for the life of me who it was. But they were talking about how we can't quantify coaching in the NBA. It's just so hard to do. But like when you look and see whether that is Phoenix, for instance, with a brand new head coach and what they're able to do, and then you look and see some of the different spots and what the coaching has been able to do in different areas, and they reference the Cavs and getting a new coach in here and how the offenses can look almost night and day in many respects, it's just a cool thing. I thought about this earlier. I love the fact that Stephen Vogt is with the Guardians. I'm still a Kevin Stefanski guy. I have not jumped off that ship. It got rocky there, but I haven't jumped off of it. And then Atkinson at this point just seems like the absolute right guy. It seems like each of the teams have somebody that you can really trust. Now, the difference in what I would say, when it comes to Atkinson, I just feel like he's a basketball junkie. And when it comes to these players, I feel like that's something that they can all get on board with. Now, Jared Allen has been dubbed the NBA's nerdiest player. I feel like he wants a basketball junkie. He wants somebody that can meet him on that same level. I know Bickerstaff loved the sport, but I don't know that Bickerstaff was jonesing to break down some of the basketball plays the way that Atkinson is. And you'll hear Atkinson, we'll have it for you guys in a little bit, as he speaks after this game is done. When you hear him talk, like, he gets really nitty-gritty basketball, and you can tell he just loves it. Bickerstaff, at times, you're like, all right, Bickerstaff's going to go home, he's going to eat his dinner, and he's going to be done for the night, and that's it. Atkinson, I feel like, goes home, gets on the horn with every assistant that'll answer his call still, breaks down film until 3 in the morning, and then wakes up tomorrow and does it all over again. Like, it's just the only thing he knows to do. And I feel like this Cavs team in particular, they're not a just roll the ball out there and see what happens type team. They're a team that needs to have set offenses. The pace that Atkinson is coaching with, it's what he did in Brooklyn. He's doing it here as well. He's divvying up the minutes between Mobley and Allen so they're staggered and they're not on the court at the same time. He's found a way to make Garland and Mitchell both work. The two undersized guard thing that for years people have told me cannot work, he's finding a way to make it work. And it just seems like he's getting the most out of these guys. 216-474 to below 92. How much of this can carry over for the Wine and Gold? A 6-0 start to the season. First time in a non-LeBron Cavs team since 1976-1977. We'll continue on. It's overtime with Jonathan Peterlin here with you on The Fan. You would think that would be set up in a way where the Cavs, that would be their first loss. But the fact that Donovan only scored or only played 22 minutes, it's not really a foregone conclusion. They clearly held back a lot of the core four. What I find fascinating about the core four, though, is where most teams have the players when they play a lot and they play on the second night of a back-to-back. Like, you can see it's just how it works. Like, you're just set up for a completely different game, and you're set up for what you would imagine to be basically a schedule loss more than anything. But with Donovan only playing 22 minutes in that game, and then Jared Allen, I mean, he was out there for 28 minutes. He only took 3 shot attempts. He only had 11 rebounds. He scored 2 points. Like, he didn't exert a lot of effort out there necessarily. You could tell he was kind of preserving himself in many respects. Now, Darius played a hell of a game. Like, Darius scored 25. He took a lot of shots. He was out there consistently, and you could tell he was playing pretty hard. Maybe he'll be a little bit different tomorrow night, but they used 7 guys off their bench. I would imagine they did it that way because Kenny Atkinson is going for 7-0. He's going to try to win as many of these games as he possibly can, which is not something that you typically see, not only this early in the season, but also in general in the regular season. You just don't see coaches, you don't see players kind of schedule it out this way. But when you get off to a 34-16 first quarter advantage, you can kind of game plan a little bit differently. Orlando didn't have Banchero in the mix, so no Paolo out there. You have no threat, really, of an Orlando comeback in any sort of way. It made sense as to what happened. It really did. But now you are not dead in the water to take on Milwaukee tomorrow night, where if you saw them play 35 minutes each and it was a grind 'em out game and you took on Orlando and it came down to the buzzer and it came down to the wire, tomorrow you might as well just phone it in. Now you don't really have to. Kenny Atkinson, head coach of the Cavs, courtesy of the FanDuel Sports Network, spoke after the win as they moved to 6-0 on the short season. Here we go.
Exactly. We were just talking. That's it was a grind it out. game, and they're, you know, they're so physical. Suggs is so physical. You know, it's hard to move out there, and the game was a bit of a slog. You know, we fouled a lot, so that slowed the game down a little. But I was really really happy. Isaac Okoro came in, and just, we needed his physicality. He made a couple big threes, and he had that downhill drive when we were struggling. So really good to see that. Karras again. You know, just he's in a state of grace right now. He's just in playing great. So it's good. We got a back-to-back. We kept our minutes, you know, decent and for the Milwaukee game.
Mark, Luke Travers got his first NBA points in real action. What do you think of his 5 minutes tonight?
You know, everybody celebrated your first point, but he played his tail off. Like, he's so smart. He had to pass, like, the fake and around. Like, you know, I love discovering players, like discovering new players. I didn't discover them. Kobe and them found them. And it's just so fun. I'm like, man, what could this guy be? You know, 6'8", and he can really pass. I love that he's you know, we've gotten him to, you know, shoot the ball without hesitation. And, it was fun to watch tonight.
Spencer
Davies, Cavs on our side. I just kind of going back to, you were just talking about Isaac, and he was part of one of that group that closed without Darius and Donovan on the floor in the third quarter for them to get that back up to 17.
Yeah, it's, good call.
You called it upon the depth a lot here, and just that the way that happened. How do you think that was beneficial for the team just as a whole?
Yeah. And keep, you know, I think part of my job is to keep trusting that depth. You know, we talked about playing 10 players, you know, in the beginning, and we're going to stick to it. It's so important, especially 7 games in 11 days, right? You always have that in the back of your mind. Like, how do we manage this? How do we, you know, the tendency is, oh man, they made a little run, and you sub, you know, sub your starters back in, or sub your best players in, and that's where you got to trust your bench. We trust Isaac. Ty was good, really good, you know, and Karras, of course, good again.
Aside from the foul trouble, it looked like Darius was not backing down from anybody tonight. He was going at the 6'7" guy. He was going at Jalen Suggs.
I love.
How do you see him, like, physicality-wise?
He's playing with swag. He's got that floater going, too, now. He's got that floater, but he also took 9 threes. I said, we need one more. We need 10. You know, that was kind of the deal with him. 10 a game. And I thought he missed some easy ones, but he's also getting the ones where he's running to the corner, right? In the first half, I thought that kind of got the lead way up when he hit that corner three on the right side there. But, great shooter, heck of a player. He's playing really well.
Coach, we talked before the game about Sam Merrill and how he's going to be able to impact also defensively. But just the amount of gravity that he was able to bring tonight, not only taking not as many shots as he might have liked, but still drawing attention. How important is that for your offense?
So important. And you know, they were really physical. They have to lock in on, you can see them. They're denying them. You know, any DHO to him, they're trying to blow it up. You know, he's on the scouting report. He's on their board. Like, we can't let him get any clean looks. And that takes a lot of energy, and it gives us space. And it's so important. I thought he did a great job. He got in the lane a couple times and, you know, kicked it for threes. So, his gravity is huge for us.
You talked a little bit about the offensive end for Darius. He also has a little bit of a rivalry with Jalen Suggs that goes back to last playoffs.
They
went back
that.
And forth a lot tonight. Mm-hmm. Without the fouling, what do you like about what he was able to bring defensively?
Yeah, listen, I said this from the beginning. I think he's an underrated defender because he's smart. He's fast. He's in the right places. He gets steals. He gets deflections. The key for him, and, you know, it's big, you know, he's got to really be careful of the fouling, right? And they know they're going to target him because he's a smaller player, but being disciplined without fouling. But I love how competitive he is defensively. He's, you know his thing. He's just got to keep getting stronger. I hope he's in the weight room right now, getting a few reps in.
Chris.
Kenny, what do you think has contributed to Karras' early season efficiency?
It was I think I said this in the beginning, at the Chris, I think I said it to you early, you know, And I think in Brooklyn, we really like implored him to be a more efficient player, you know, and we didn't get there. We got a darn good player, but his efficiency has always been a, you know, always been an improvement area. And we're just like, we're just doubling down on helping him now. That's in the development area. That's watching film. That's making him understand, you know, what a good shot profile looks like. There's a lot of work being done. You know, Karis, he's buying in, and I feel like he's dribbling less. I don't know if he's getting to the rim quicker. He's catching, shooting the ball without hesitating. Those are the things we're emphasizing. That's why I feel like every game he's plus, you know, leading the team in plus minus. He's got to keep it going, and of course he's defending.
All right, good stuff right there from Kenny Atkinson. Again, I just think he is the type of coach that the Cavs have needed. Not only does everything look cleaner, everything looks like it's supposed to, which is obviously, it sounds dumb to say, like, oh, it looks like it's supposed to, but it does. It looks like it's supposed to. Sometimes that's a thing that actually matters. I think about that with my golf game every now and then. Because you guys know I love to golf, and I'm upset that I'm putting away the clubs now for a little bit, although I'll still hit golf balls in my garage. And I'll video my swing every now and then, and I'll look at it and be like, does it look like it's supposed to? And if it looks like it's supposed to, then I feel good about it. More times than not, it doesn't. And I'm like, yeah. It doesn't matter that I'm actually hitting the ball better or worse. I mean, it doesn't look like it's supposed to. And sometimes when I'm trying to do something and it looks like it's supposed to, then I'm actually able to hit the ball well. And it's like, oh, see how that works? He looks and sounds the part. He does. But more importantly, when you hear him describe basketball, you can see how someone like Mobley, Allen, Garland, and Mitchell would be right on board with that. I really do think they missed that because J.B. Bickerstaff, although he was a fine basketball coach, J.B. Bickerstaff was the type of coach, I believe, that had other hobbies, that had other interests, that, you know, was a real human of sorts. Not saying that Atkinson isn't a real human. The impression I have from Atkinson is that he eats, sleeps, and breathes the sport. And he loves basketball in a way that you think you love basketball. Atkinson loves basketball. And I feel like that would just vibe with someone like Mobley and Allen in particular. I feel like Jared Allen would get along with that so well. He's obsessive. You can tell, you hear it in his voice. He is obsessive about it. And I love that. I love that for him, and I love that mentality. It's not great as a personal trait, if we're being honest. Like if I was Atkinson's family members, I probably wouldn't be pleased if that is actually how he is. But for your coach, that's exactly what you want. I think about this with quarterbacks all the time. He'll be like, oh, it's really nice that Patrick Mahomes seems like he's a loving father and takes care of his kids and is there at his kids' events and all these other things. I'm like, yeah, as a Chiefs fan, though, I don't really know that I want my quarterback to be that. I want my quarterback to be Tom Brady. You know, where Tom Brady was, the hardest working person you'd find and was obsessed with football to the point that many have argued it cost him multiple marriages. You know, like that's kind of the guy you want. It's not great for his personal life, but it's kind of the guy you want. All right, Isaac Okoro spoke. We'll get to that in just a little bit as well. 216-474 to below 92. BP and Pepper Pike. What's up, BP?
Hey, Jonathan. How you doing tonight?
Hey, BP.
Yeah, I was at the game, so I thought I'd, you know, give you a quick little report from the game.
All right, what do you got on it?
The Cavs are just destroying teams, you know. I mean, that game was over early.
Yeah, I mean, but the 34-point first quarter, I mean, it was, you're off to the races. That's all she wrote.
Yeah, I mean, it's just incredible. I mean, they're not even playing with, you know, they're missing Max Strus, who, you know, he is a pretty good three-point shooter, 12 points a game. But just like, they are just, I mean, I think J.B. Bickerstaff would have gotten off to the same record. I don't know what you think about that. But I do. I mean, but I think they're playing faster.
No, I mean, the Lakers are a much better team with J.J. Redick there. And that Knicks game was really impressive. They got to go through a lot. Obviously, the Knicks added a lot of pieces this offseason. And it's going to take them a little bit to get their feet wet, so to speak. But I don't know. I'm really impressed with Atkinson.
No, I'm impressed with him. And, somebody mentioned that, you know, the Cavs are, like, against the other night, against the Lakers, they're getting shots off within 8 seconds of the shot clock. You know, so they're getting shots off quicker and, you know, more frequently. And, you know, they're just being more efficient. And I just like the way Mobley is playing. I think he's taken a step. But I think that step would have come no matter what. He's just a young guy, you know. But
yeah, I guess we'll never know with that. I mean, it seems like I hope you're right about that. But who's to say? I gave Bickerstaff 3 years to get Mobley right.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, again, Mobley was never going to score 25 a game.
We gave him 3 years to get it right, and Atkinson has it right in 30 seconds.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, Mobley's never going to put up outrageous numbers. Jared Allen is still, you know, putting up 15 and 15 a night, you know. You know, you got Donovan. There's a lot of mouths to feed here. That's my point. You know, just like, you know, when Chris Bosh was on the Miami Heat, he never went out. You know, he's not going to score 25 a game. That's not, not going to happen.
What, but balancing that is going to be tough. And BP, I appreciate you, man.
You too, man. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. And balancing that is going to be tough. It's like you heard Atkinson in the post-game audio that we played. He was talking about Darius. He's like, well, we got to get him to 10 three-point attempts. The number was 10. Like, he's got these numbers he wants to hit. He's figured it all out. That was a Darius game. Once the lead was established and once Donovan got his, it turned into a Darius game. It's about keeping those mouths fed. And, yeah, so Donovan doesn't score 35 in a meaningless game against Orlando, but it gets Darius involved, and collectively they both feel like they left the game pretty happy. Isaac Okoro spoke after the game. We'll have this for you guys, courtesy of the FanDuel Sports Network. Here we go.
Us, we just have mental toughness. You know, this year we're mentally strong. You know, in previous years we would be able just to fold, you know, not handle the pressure. But I feel like this year, you know, we have a lot of depth. You know, guys are coming in with energy, fresh. You know, we're playing a lot of bodies, and, you know, we're just staying resilient.
What do you think has led to that mental toughness you talk about?
I mean, it really just starts with our chemistry and us just believing in each other. You know, if we believe in each other, we know that we have each other's backs, and when we go out there, if someone fails, we're going to pick each other up.
I think one of the telling moments of this game is Darius and Donovan are sitting out with foul trouble at the end of the third. Bench unit comes in and does what the bench unit does, extends the lead. Like, how much a part of that, like, how important is that for this group?
It's very important. I mean, just staying healthy like we are, having fresh bodies off the bench, you know, so, you know, guys like, you know, Darius, Evan, you know, Jay, Don, they're not playing 35 minutes a game, and they're able to, you know, get their rest, and, you know, guys on the bench are able to come in fresh, you know, help them for, like, nights like this when we have a back-to-back, so, you know, they can be fresh tomorrow.
What's the overall feeling surrounding you guys being 6-0 right now?
Just keep taking it day by day. Keep taking it game by game, and, you know, attack every game the same way.
How much has moving the ball through the pass instead of mostly with the dribble been beneficial for this team? It seems like everybody's just kind of passing it and knowing to know to get to the next guy.
I mean, yeah, I mean, we're scoring in 120s, you know, 130s. So, I mean, everybody's touching it. Everybody's moving it. Playing at a faster pace. You know, people are getting the ball with the rhythm, not, you know, being cold or whatever when they touch the ball. So everybody's touching, everybody's moving, they're just playing together and having fun.
How do you feel like everybody's getting to their spots? It looks like everyone knows they're going to the corners and they're going to the wings.
Exactly. Everybody, I mean, Kenny's harped on that since, you know, training camp. You know, everybody's just sprinting. Once you sprint, you're being unselfish by, you know, letting guys like Evan rebounds. Everybody's running to the corner to give him space to attack and, you know, play make like he does with finishes. So you're just being unselfish by people just running to the corners or the wings and just spacing the floor up.
All right, that is Isaac Okoro. We come on back, you'll hear from Darius Garland, then we'll get into some Browns action as the Browns get ready to take on the Chargers this weekend. It's Overtime with Jonathan Peterwin here with you on The Fan.